Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Skeena Resources and some news that just came out a couple days ago. I have the president and CEO, Walter Coles, on the line with me. And Walter, let's first just quickly recap the news that came out May 2nd, talking about the Porter, Idaho silver property, which is near Stewart, BC. You sold that to Strike Point. You managed to pull in $1.75 million in cash and $1.75 million worth of shares of the company, plus retaining a NSR of 1%. Take us through why this deal came together and how it helps you now focus on your two main other projects.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We are focused on the SNIP project and Eskay Creek. So we're trying to divest other assets so we can raise capital in a non-dilutive fashion to finance the drilling at SNIP and soon Eskay Creek. It wasn't an easy decision to sell Porter, Idaho. We really liked the project, and that's partly reflected in the deal terms. We sold it for $1.75 million in cash and $1.75 million in stock. So we continue to have exposure to that project. I always try to think about how do we mitigate risk, and in my view, this deal is an example of that. We're taking some cash off the table, but we're also taking stock. So that's how we sort of try to cover our downside, but also maintain some upside exposure, and we have that as well with the royalty.
Okay, so one thing to consider here is that you're not starving for cash. You are pulling in some cash, but this $1.75 million worth of shares that you're getting, as of right now, at least, the strategy is not to sell these shares. It's to actually follow along with Strike Point and see kind of where their drilling goes. Is that correct?
Yeah. The outstanding question on Porter, Idaho is whether the mineralization from historic mining on either side of the mountain, whether it connects through the mountain. And you've got a glacier on top that's receding. So now there's an opportunity to put a drill rig on top of the mountain and drill down into the center. And if Strike Point does this, which is what we expect them to do this summer, if they do it and they hit mineralization in the center of the mountain, then suddenly there could be a big silver deposit there. So that's what we want to know, that answer to that question. But you know, our problem was we don't have the people, the time, or the money to go off and try to figure it out. So that's why it made sense to divest the property to Strike Point.
Okay, let's now switch focus, talk about, again, your two major properties, Eskay Creek and SNIP. First and foremost, let's talk about Eskay Creek. If I understand correctly, there is an initial resource estimate that you are planning to release coming relatively soon. Take us through the time frame here, please.
Yeah, I always want to be careful with time frames, but I will say we're working on a resource estimate that we want to publish on Eskay Creek. And the strategy for optioning Eskay from Barrick is based on the knowledge that the cutoff grade used for mining at Eskay Creek was 15 grams per ton for the mill feed and 30 grams per ton for the direct ship ore. So our whole idea was to go in and use, say, a 3 or 4 gram cutoff and see how much gold, how much silver is left. And that's what we're doing right now. And we have the benefit of 780,000 meters of drilling that was conducted at Eskay Creek. So we're taking all that data, building the block models, and working to be able to publish that resource. And we think it's going to be significant. Obviously, it's going to be less than 15 grams because that was the cutoff. But we think there's a sizable amount of gold still left there. And that's why we're eager to get this out in a 43-101 format as quickly as we can. So in terms of guidance on timing, I think it's fair to say 2 to 3 months that we'll be able to publish that.
Okay. And again, as you said, it is sometimes hard to actually stick to some of these hard deadlines, but at least you don't necessarily have a deadline here. But this is going to be an interesting resource because it is more or less an initial resource that is re-looking at this project that was a productive mine at high grades. You're now just taking into account that metals prices are much higher and using maybe a 3-4 gram cutoff. I don't know. We're just going to have to follow along and see what comes out of that. I'm looking forward to that, actually. And now moving on to the SNP mine and property. You do have underground drilling underway. We touched on this in our last interview, more or less at the beginning of April. How's that going?
It's going. The drilling's going really well. You know, it's a wonderful project in that it's at sea level. I just got back from a site visit last night. There's no snow there. You know, things are humming right along. We've got two drills turning. I guess my only frustration is that I wish we had assays quicker. It still takes time to get those assay results back from the labs. But our intention is to publish drill results in sort of 10 to 12 hole batches. So we're about halfway through the first batch, and I would expect a press release out late next week. Now, just as a reminder, the game plan for drilling is two-pronged. We're drilling in the remnant areas of the twin zone, so that's the lower risk way to build ounces, but we can't build as many ounces as quickly as stepping into something completely new and doing large step-out holes. The drilling in the remnant twin zone areas is more tightly spaced. We're building ounces there. Like I said, it's lower risk, but lower reward. It's still meaningful, though. Now, the swing for the fences, the home run opportunities, is finding a new twin zone. And as a reminder, the twin zone produced about 750,000 ounces at an ounce per ton. So incredibly high grade, incredibly profitable. And if we can find another twin zone, it's a home run out of the park. And so we have one drill rig focused in an area we call the 200-foot wall, and there are good hints there for the possibility of another twin zone. We've got about a half a dozen holes with some spectacular intercepts in there. I mean, things, you know, just to sort of remind your listeners of the tenor, you know, holes that are, say, 4 meters of 45 grams or 5 meters of 60 grams, you know, that's what the twin zone produced was intercepts like that. So we've got 19 holes targeted into the 200-foot wall area. They're spaced at 50 to 100 meters apart. So anything that we, you know, in terms of resources that we could create there would be inferred. But if we're able to show with big step-out holes hits, then it's easy to go back in and do the infill drilling to turn it into indicated. So we will know within the next 6 weeks whether there is a significant structure that holds gold in the 200-foot wall. So from our perspective, it's very exciting because it could be transformative for the value of the company if we succeed. Now, I asked our VP of exploration, come on, you know, lay it on me. What are the odds on this? And, you know, his assessment to me was we've got about a 50-50 shot. So that's 50% chance that it doesn't hold up, which would, you know, not be pleasant. But we also got a 50% chance, according to Paul, of making this work and finding a new twin zone. So really exciting, and we'll know soon.
Yeah, this is a big time for the company, and that's one of the reasons why I'm happy that we're following along, because this true exploration drilling, trying to find another twin zone with how big the initial twin zone was, really could be a company maker. And you took us through maybe the odds of that happening. You also took us through some historical drill results from the original twin zone. Give us your personal opinion on what you would consider a success, or what you would almost hope to see in terms of these drill results that will be eventually be coming out to confirm this hypothesis.
Yeah, like I said, I'd start by reminding everyone that the twin zone pinched and swelled, so it could pinch down to a meter, half a meter, and then it could expand, blow out to as wide as 15 meters. So with these 19 holes, if we had intercepts of as low as a meter of 20 or 30 grams, that's fine. It's proving out the structure is there. If, you know, what we really want to see is something, you know, wide, like 6, 7, 10 meters of width with that 15 to 30 grams. If we hit intercepts of that nature, then we know the ball has gone over the wall in terms of hitting it out of the park. What Paul tells me that he's looking for is he takes the width of the intercept and he multiplies it by the grade. And as long as we're seeing over 30, then he's going to be happy with that. So, you know, if we get 2 meters of 15 grams, that equals 30. If we get a meter of 30 grams, that equals 30. If we get 3 meters of 10 grams, that's 30. So as long as we're in anything that turns out 30 or better is what we're looking for.
Okay. Well, I don't think there's much more to say here, Walter, other than there are some potentially some very nice company drivers coming from SK Creek and that resource estimate, plus this true exploration drilling. Hey, I'm hoping for the best for you guys, and I am going to be following along as closely as we can. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Walter and his team, please be sure to email me directly at fleck@kereport. Other than that, Walter, we'll be chatting in the next couple weeks when we start to see some more news. Have a great rest of your day, Walter.